Father, I thank you for the opportunity to come to worship you this morning, the opportunity, Lord, to come into your presence today, the opportunity, Lord, together with your people, and the opportunity, Lord, to hear your word together. Lord, may you speak into our hearts and lives. I pray that the Spirit of God would do a work in us today. Lord, that in some way that we might be changed, that you accomplish in us what you desire, and I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. I've been sharing messages about having more in your relationship with God, more in your life with Him. We want all that God has for us. Now, this has turned into an accidental series that seems to happen to me pretty often as the Lord just gives me one message at a time, and yet it seems that the Lord has given me a series and connected these messages. But I believe these messages are very timely and relevant for our culture and the day that we are living. People are searching for real meaning. They're searching for something that will truly satisfy. You know, you can see this searching in every walk of life, in every imaginable pursuit. People looking for fulfillment in all kinds of things. But apart from the Lord, everything just comes up empty. The Bible tells us that we were created for His pleasure. We were created for fellowship with Him. We were created to worship Him. We were created to love Him. And when we seek and hunger for the things of God and for God Himself, that's when we really find fulfillment and satisfaction in life. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 and 19 says, "For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect." He said, we were redeemed from an empty way of life. The King James uses the word vain there. But it literally means dissatisfaction. It's a vain, empty, dissatisfying way of life. Now when we come to the Lord, we leave behind that unfulfilled life, that powerless religion. We leave behind a life of dissatisfaction. It's a life that is no life. But you know, this scripture, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 and 19, now it is certainly written to all of us. But I want you to realize that those that this epistle were written to, they had a rich heritage. They were very religious people. He spoke of this way of life that was handed down to them by their forefathers. I want you to understand, they had strong family relationships, much more than just their immediate family. No, they had strong family relationships that they knew who their ancestors were. They didn't have to get on the internet and search their family tree. They could quote to you who their ancestors were. They could trace their genealogy back for you. There was such a strong sense of family there. Strong sense of community. Well, their religion was so strong that it affected every part of their life. This is who this is written to, and he's talking about an empty way of life. Many of them were very successful. In fact, they still make jokes about that today. That the Jewish people are very successful and good in business. And here, these people had a strong work ethic. You see, there were a lot of things, of the good things of this world that they had going for them. And yet he says, you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers. Now I'm telling you, we're living in a generation in America that has had more of everything the world can offer, and yet it comes up empty. And when I say everything, I don't just mean material things. We in this generation in America have had so much more of everything, not just stuff, more opportunity for entertainment than's ever existed in history, more opportunity for leisure and hobbies and pleasures than's ever existed, and yet it still comes up empty apart from the Lord. Solomon experienced this in his day. He said, meaningless, meaningless. Ecclesiastes 1 and 2, meaningless, meaningless, utterly meaningless. Everything is meaningless. Now, Solomon had become a little bit cynical because he had tried absolutely everything. He had gotten to the place where after trying everything, he just said, it's all meaningless. It doesn't even matter. It's all meaningless. He had such a dissatisfaction with life that it ultimately, at the end of his life, it brought him disaster. It's only through Jesus Christ that we find true fulfillment and satisfaction in life. Jesus said in John 7, 37 and 38, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him. Jesus invites us to come to him. He says, anybody that comes to me and believes in me, he says, living water will flow from within. It will satisfy. It will fill you to overflowing. Listen, Jesus offers this living water that comes from within. It does not come from your environment. It doesn't come from your surroundings. It doesn't come from your circumstance. You see, people are always running after the things of this world. They always think that if they can change their surrounding or their circumstance, that somehow that then they're going to find real satisfaction and fulfillment in life. But it comes from the inside. It comes from the Lord Jesus Christ, that by His Spirit, He fills you to overflowing. That's when you find real satisfaction and fulfillment in this life. All of the things of this world and the pursuit of those things will always come up empty. There's an emptiness, there's a thirst inside of every man that only God can fill. And when we try to fill it with anything else, it will never truly satisfy. It may make you think that you're not as empty as you really are. And there's the danger that the things of this world and other pursuits can dull your hunger, that longing in your soul for more of God. And I realize that those that are lost certainly need to hear this, that Jesus Christ can quench that thirst and that hunger in their soul. But church, we in the body of Christ also need to hear it with fresh ears and hearts this morning, because so much of the body of Christ, even though they know the Lord, they seem to be running after the things of this world. They seem to be distracted too much of the time. Their hearts are being drawn away by other things, and their hunger for God has been dulled by the pursuit of other things. One of the main things that Peter was referring to here when he spoke of that empty way of life was religion. I said this, but they had a strong religion that was handed down to them. It was full of rules and regulations, and yet it was empty. It didn't satisfy. In fact, Jesus said of the religious people of his day that they were full of dead men's bones. They looked good on the outside, but they were dead on the inside. The Apostle Paul was full of religion prior to his conversion and coming to the Lord Jesus. We know him then as Saul on the road to Damascus. But Saul was a man that was steeped in religious tradition. He was a zealot, so much so that he hunted down and persecuted and even helped kill Christians. He was full of bitterness and anger. Listen, that's what religion can do for you apart from Jesus Christ. We see people in our world today who are very religious and they're full of bitterness and anger and hatred. And I'm telling you the truth this morning, sometimes they're Christians. At least they name the name. Full of bitterness and anger and hatred. Listen, religion will not satisfy. Listen to what Paul says in Philippians chapter 3. If anyone else thinks he has reason to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. In regard to the law, a Pharisee. As for zeal, persecuting the church. As for legalistic righteousness, faultless. But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death. Listen, Paul had all that religion could offer. He had experienced it all. He had seen it all and done it all. And yet, when he found Christ, he said, I count all of that a loss. All of that is just rubbish to me now, that I might gain Christ, that I might know Him. You see, Paul had found that which truly satisfies. It is a relationship with Jesus Christ. And all of the trappings of religion will leave you empty and dry. It is only in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ that you find real life. And yet, here in America today, so many believers are running after other things. They have allowed their passion for God to become cold or at best lukewarm, and they're no longer seeking after Him with a whole heart. I tell you, those other things will never satisfy. Even religion itself will not satisfy. It is only in a relationship with Jesus Christ. A lot of people look to relationships to bring fulfillment in their life. They think if they could just find the right guy or girl, man or woman, that somehow then they will finally be happy, they'll finally be fulfilled in life. Well, that's the way it happens in the movies, right? That's the way it happens in the romance novels. If you just find Mr. Right, then everything's going to be perfect. And you'll walk off into the sunset together, and happily ever after. But the truth is there is no man or woman who can satisfy your soul. Only Jesus Christ can meet the need inside your soul. John chapter 4 tells us about a Samaritan woman that Jesus ministered to. She was looking, she was longing, she was searching for something. And evidently, she thought that she could find satisfaction and fulfillment in life if she could just find the right man. Now, she wasn't looking for a superficial relationship. No, she wanted something serious because she had been married 5 times. 5 times she got married, made that commitment. She's searching. And Jesus said, and the man you're living with now is not your husband. She's looking for love in all the wrong places. But I want to tell you, now this may be an extreme example, being married 5 times and living with another man. But even if you're a teenager, I want to tell you, you're not going to find somebody that satisfies your soul. That place is only for the Lord Jesus Himself. And we need to know that, church. You see, there's some people that think that their husband or their wife should fulfill all their needs and all their every want and every desire. There's a place in your soul that only Jesus can fill. You're not going to find true fulfillment in relationships. wonderful as family is, it can't truly satisfy and fulfill your soul. Listen, children will bring much joy to your heart. The Bible speaks of that. One day they get grown and they pursue their own life and move out. And what are you left with? The empty nest. Empty nest. Well, they even call it the empty nest syndrome because it's such a problem for some parents that they've invested their life into their kids, and then when the kids are gone, there's this emptiness. But the truth is that even when the kids are home, when we look to our family to satisfy the longing in our soul, many times we put a demand upon our family that they cannot meet because only Jesus Christ can truly fulfill you. Listen to what Jesus told that woman at the well. In John chapter 4, verse 10, he says, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." Verse 13, he says, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." You see, Jesus makes it very plain and very clear that we can chase after the things of the world, but you're just going to be thirsty again. But when we come to the Lord Jesus and we drink of that living water, he truly satisfies. He truly fulfills our soul. I've seen people put their family before the Lord. And I want to tell you, family's important. I preached a message not long ago about what matters most. We talked about faith, family, and friends. And listen, family and friends are important. Those relationships are important. But when you put your family before God, it's going to turn up empty. In fact, I've even seen people that put their family before God, and it wasn't too long, a few years down the road, and their family all fell apart. What an emptiness they were left with. Great to have friends, but friends will let you down. Only a friend can betray you. And there's a time when even though you have friends, you can be lonely. You know why? Because there's a place in your soul that only Jesus can satisfy. Some people look to education. They look to intellect as fulfillment in their life. They acquire knowledge, and in some sense of pride, they find satisfaction in that. But no matter how many degrees you might acquire, it will never truly satisfy. Ecclesiastes 1, verse 16 and 17, listen to what Solomon said. "I thought to myself, look, I've grown and increased in wisdom more than anyone who has ruled over Jerusalem before me. I've experienced much wisdom and knowledge. Then I applied myself to the understanding of wisdom and also the madness and folly. But I learned that this too is chasing after the wind." Here's the wisest man that ever lived, and he acquired knowledge and understanding, and yet he says, it's all just chasing after the wind. Now I want you to know that seeking a good education is a good thing, and especially if God has put that in your heart as part of his plan for your life, that you're to get a certain education and pursue a certain career. That's a good thing, young people. But when we think that somehow education or the wisdom of man and knowledge will satisfy and fulfill us, we're just going to come up empty. There are some people that are so consumed with knowledge and being an intellectual that they get to the place where they're too smart to have a simple faith in Jesus Christ who died on the cross for them. The most common substitute for God today is pleasure. 2 Timothy chapter 3 says that people will be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. They think that somehow pleasure will fill the emptiness in their soul. But listen, all it does is dull the hunger for God. And that's the danger for the child of God, is that we become distracted by the desire for other things, and it dulls our hunger for God. Solomon, in Ecclesiastes 2:1, he says, I thought in my heart, come now, I will test you with pleasure to find out what is good. But that also proved to be meaningless. Laughter, I said, is foolish. And what does pleasure accomplish? I tried cheering myself with wine, embracing folly, my mind still guiding me with wisdom. Solomon allowed himself every pleasure imaginable, and yet it was empty. Let me tell you something. He had good times, partying, laughter, wine, all kinds of pleasures, and yet he says it came up empty. He had it all. He experienced it all. And he says it comes up empty. There's many today that think if they could just have a little more fun, if they could just party a little more, just a little more wine, it still comes up empty. When you get to the bottom of the bottle, what's left? It's empty. And there's still an emptiness in the soul. No matter how great the party is, when you put your head on the pillow at night, there's no peace. And when you wake up in the morning, there's no joy. The old rock star Rod Stewart was quoted in USA Today once as saying, I remember being in the south of France years ago in a suite with girls coming and going and all my friends there, and I was empty, just empty. Drugs can't satisfy, alcohol can't satisfy, sex can't satisfy, the TV won't satisfy that fulfillment in your soul. What does it do, though? It dulls that hunger for God. It is an escape, but it doesn't satisfy. The internet can't satisfy. Oh, but it's so vast. Why, you can search on the internet for hours and hours and hours and days and days and days, but it won't satisfy. No, all of the entertainment of this generation, we're so saturated with it, but it doesn't satisfy. All it does is dull the hunger for God. Keeps us from that passion for the Lord. I've heard the Nichols and others talk about how it was 40 or 50 years ago when there would be a revival in town, be across town somewhere, and every night for 6 weeks they went to that revival. Now, I understand where you live. I live in the same place you do, all right? I understand how life is, what it's like to raise children, and all the things that we are so busy with. And to hear something like that, I'm just like, how do they do that? Well, let me tell you, they weren't so saturated with everything else. And they made a way. They were so hungry for God that the fact that they had kids didn't keep them from going to a revival. And I'm not telling you that we're going to have a 6-week revival. I mean, if God puts that on my heart, I guess we will. We'll obey the Lord in that. But what I know some of you, I'm scaring you right now. You're thinking. But what I'm saying to you is that we need to be careful that we don't allow other things to dull our hunger for God. And a lot of times it's good things, whether it's our job or our family, entertainment. Some of the pleasures of this life are a good thing. Amen. Our hobbies. No, now we're at the other extreme where, well, we can't go to church on Sunday night. We're busy. We go to those small groups. Or Wednesday night, well, you know, we just got so much going on, you know. Well, I don't know if we can even make it to church every Sunday. Maybe every other week. And where does it end? Let me tell you what's taking place here is that we are being pulled and drawn by other things. And rather than being hungry for God, we're allowing that hunger to be dulled by the things of this world and all kinds of other passions and pleasures and pursuits in this life. A lot of people in America look to their work to fulfill them. There is a certain satisfaction in your work. You know, the Bible speaks of that. But at the end, apart from the Lord, it will leave you empty. Listen to Solomon in chapter 2 of Ecclesiastes, verse 3 and 4. He says, I wanted to see what was worthwhile for men to do under heaven during their few days of their life. I undertook great projects. I built houses for myself and planted vineyards. I made gardens and parks and planted all kinds of fruit trees in them. I made reservoirs to water groves of flourishing trees. He did all kinds of stuff. Man, he was a worker. He was always doing something, always had something going, but it didn't fulfill him. All the stuff that he set out to do, he accomplished it, and yet he was not fulfilled. You know, a lot of people think that things will satisfy. In spite of the fact we know that's not the case, it's evidenced by the fact that people run after things. They're constantly pursuing material things, and they think that if I just acquire a little more stuff, then we'll be content. If I could just provide this for my family, then I'll be content. If we just get to this place in life financially, then we'll be content. Solomon says, I bought male and female slaves and had other slaves who were born in my house. I also owned more herds and flocks than anyone in Jerusalem before me. I amassed silver and gold for myself and the treasures of kings and provinces. I acquired men and women, singers, a harem, as well as the delights of the heart of man. Became greater by far than anyone in Jerusalem before me. In all this, my wisdom stayed with me. It just turned up empty. All the stuff that he acquired, wealth that was unimaginable, and yet it was empty. Maybe it's in success. Maybe it's in the achievement and success, accomplishment of certain goals. Verse 10, Solomon says, I denied myself nothing my eyes desired. I refused my heart no pleasure. No, my heart took delight in all my work, and this was the reward for all my labor. Yet, when I surveyed all that my hands had done and what I had toiled to achieve, everything was meaningless, a chasing after the wind. Nothing was gained under the sun. I want you to understand, I think it's very important that we work hard. The Bible makes it clear that we should work hard, and whatever we do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men. Christians ought to be hard workers. But if we think that working hard and that our job can fulfill us, we've been deceived. If we think that having success and achievement in life ultimately is going to fulfill us, we're deceived. There is a place in your soul that only God can fill. And when we allow our drive to work or our drive for success to distract us from the one thing in this life that really matters, we've been deceived. See, Solomon did it all. He accomplished everything that he set out to do. Can you imagine that? Here's a man that had the wisdom. He had the money, the wealth. He had the fame. He had the women. 700 wives, 300 concubines. I mentioned earlier that ultimately his dissatisfaction in life led to his destruction. And it was those foreign wives, the Bible tells us, that ultimately led his heart away from the Lord. Amen. Now, sometimes, you know, we see that in our world where someone has accomplished everything they set out to do and achieved success, and yet they're still not happy. And yet how many people still are running after those same types of goals, those same things, expecting fulfillment in life? Back in the days of Tom Landry, before some of you were born, when the Cowboys won a Super Bowl, Tom Landry made this observation: the overwhelming emotion in a few days among the players on the Dallas Cowboy football team was how empty that goal was. There must be something more. Now, Tom Landry, as a Christian man, knew what that something more was. But he was talking about that letdown, that after they had achieved great success, as high as you could go in their profession, in their sport, there was still something missing. And I tell you, it doesn't matter what you achieve in this life, it will not satisfy the longing in your soul. A lot of pursuits, many of them good things, but none of them can truly fulfill your soul. If you try to substitute anything else for God, it only leads to disappointment. Jesus invites us to come to Him and drink. He offers us this living water that He says truly satisfies. It is a relationship with Him. It's when we come to Him and we seek Him and we hear His Word and sit at His feet. You see, church, we need to come back to the place where prayer is the most important part of our day. That making time for God's Word and to hear from the Lord is the most important part of our day. We're so busy with all of our other pursuits and things we're trying to find fulfillment in life, and we're missing the one thing that truly satisfies and fulfills. It's that living water. And the saddest part is this message is not just for unbelievers. No, it's for believers, because too often God's people forsake that living water, and just like the world, they start looking to other things to satisfy. Jeremiah 2 verse 13, the Lord says, "My people have committed two sins. They have forsaken me, the spring of living water, and have dug their own cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water." Now, first I just want to clarify what a cistern is. A cistern is just a reservoir that they dug out in the ground to catch rainwater, runoff water, and many times they would even haul water to store in this little reservoir so that they could have water there. And the Lord uses this to illustrate to us how that we forsake our relationship with Him, the one who can truly satisfy, living water. He's talking about, in this illustration here, he's talking about a well that has water in it all the time. It's always available. It's always there. And you don't have to do anything to get the water there. It's just there. It's available for us to come and receive from. And it's fresh and it's living water for us. But he says, "You've forsaken me, the living water, and you've dug out for yourselves cisterns." And I want you to get this now. You see, a cistern is man-made. It is something that man digs out for himself. And then, one way or another, he gets the water there. He either channels it there or he hauls it there, but it's all of his own making and his own doing. And you see, in life, so much of the time, people, by their own making, their own doing, they're trying to satisfy that longing in their soul with all kinds of things when the living water is available to us in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you don't have to earn it. You don't have to work for it. You just have to receive it. You just have to be willing to come to Him. That's what Jesus said, "Come to me. If any man's thirsty, let him come to me. He that believes in me, out of his innermost being will flow this river of living water." The psalmist said, Psalm 73, verse 25 and 26, he said, "Whom have I in heaven but you? And on earth nothing I desire beside you. My heart and my flesh, or my flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." See, he had it right. Whom have I in heaven but you? There's none upon earth that I desire beside you. You're my portion. We need to come to the place where we truly know that, that God is our portion. He is the one that satisfies. There's none upon earth that we desire. No, our passion, our heart needs to be fixed on the Lord. That He is the one that fulfills. Let me tell you something. When we seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, all these other things are added to us. Oh, listen, God can bless you in your family, in your relationships. He can bless you with friends. He can bless you in your work and give you success. He can bless you in every area of your life that you enjoy life. But it's when we truly seek Him first. It's when we truly make Him the love of our life. What's the great commandment? To love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our soul, with all our strength. You see, it can't be just a halfway thing. No, we have to make the Lord our passion. And when we truly let Him be the love of our life, oh, that's when we find that soul satisfaction. The psalmist David spoke of it in Psalm 23. He said, "My cup runs over. My cup runs over." He was so full of that life that it just ran over. And I want to tell you this morning, that same living water is available to every one of us that our cup just run over. Jesus said in John 10:10, "I have come that they might have life and have it more abundantly." The NIV says, "and have it to the full." He wants you to have that life overflowing. Life to the full. It's a fulfilled life. It's in Him. It's in a relationship with Him. It's available to every one of us. And I challenge you, encourage you this morning, don't allow other things to distract you or to dull your hunger for God. Having a sense of emptiness, a dryness inside, a longing inside, a dissatisfaction inside. Listen to me. It's not a bad thing if you allow it to turn your heart to God. That hunger, that longing, that dissatisfaction in life, it's there because your heart needs to be drawn to the Lord. And I just want to encourage you this morning, don't look to other things. Don't run after, pursue other things, because it'll dull that and keep you from the relationship that God wants to have with you. And I encourage you this morning to make prayer, the study of God's Word, worship, a daily experience in your life, that every day you seek Him. He says, "You'll seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." He makes us this promise, draw near to God and He will draw near to you. Church, it's available to us. If you're hungry, if you're thirsty this morning, if you're longing for something more in your life, I tell you, the Lord Jesus still makes this invitation. If any man is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Amen, amen. Stand with me and let's pray.